Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So the world is in the midst of shopping season right now. I'm sure you are. We had 11/11 last month. Last week it was Black Friday, Cyber Monday earlier this week. We've got 12/12 coming up as well, and all the Christmas shopping that we are somehow obligated to do, you know. But the pandemic, right? This COVID-19 situation that we're in, it has altered our shopping behavior, hasn't it? I mean, online retail has seen this historic rise this year. People increasingly look to shop online. Twitter recently revealed the results of its Global M-Commerce 3.0 study, and it was found that from January to August of this year, Twitter alone saw more than 1 billion tweets from 37 million unique authors around shopping globally. So what does this mean for consumers and brands in the coming months? I mean, for us here in Singapore, if you're a local player, can you take advantage of this? And is it a sign that shoppertainment is on the rise? Is it here to stay? Let's see if we can get some insight from Arvinda Gujral, Managing Director, Southeast Asia at Twitter. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. Good morning, everyone.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. I am curious about this Global M-Commerce 3.0 study. Could you tell us more about it?
Well, we've all seen the rise of M-Commerce in this tough year, and very few things have gone right. I think M-Commerce is one of the few things that went right, which is on the right side of the ledger. So we did a survey of about 50,000 people around the world in 27 markets just to get a feeler on what is happening in this space. And there's so much happening that's so difficult and so time-consuming to dissect. And we just said, okay, let's try and simplify our lives by at least getting the top line headlines on what's happening around the world, and especially in our end.
So when was this survey done?
It was done in Q2 and Q3. It's been going on. Actually, you know, every year we run an M-commerce survey, a commerce survey in that sense, right? But in this year, we kind of accelerated a bit more and expanded the scope of what we are covering, just to get some of those nuanced insights that were probably not as relevant in 2019 as they were this year.
Okay. And if I wanted to try and understand the target market group that was surveyed, I mean, what kind of demographics are we looking at here?
So what we didn't do was go for the audience that most people go after. This is only the millennials. I want to hear what the millennials are saying. And so the first top-line thing that we found out, which is very interesting, you know, we have this generation gap. We have this digital divide. So the first headline that we found interesting was actually the digital divide is narrowed this year. So while 61% of millennials are shopping online and on mobile, Gen Xers are at 58%. So just a very 3 basis point difference between what a Gen X and a Gen Z and a millennial will be doing this year. If you look back, that would be at least a 10-plus basis point difference between what a millennial would be doing on online shopping in Southeast Asia and around the world versus what a Gen X would do.
Okay, but does that mean they have to be on Twitter? They have to be tweeting what they're shopping?
No. So the way we get the data is people proactively talk about things that they are either looking at shopping or have shopped or their wish list or wishing people on their birthday and say, I wish I could buy you this. And, you know, Twitter is a platform for conversations.
Okay.
And that's the insight. And unlike search, here you have an intent being shown of what you want to do or what you have done or a product that you might have bought and not liked. And, you know, instead of calling that 1-800 number or a call center, which kind of goes in a black hole, you're like, you know what, I want to tweet to them. And because the brand wants to then obviously get back to you because this visibly you are upset and they don't want a visible upset customer telling Ken Moles about, this was not kosher for me.
You know, I have seen a rise in people taking their cases to Twitter. Like, for example, this year we've seen some video games been released, right?
Yep.
And because it's released through like a worldwide lockdown in that sense, these games are not up to standard. Various patches have to be put out online. And a lot of people converge onto this space to talk about it, to update one another. It's a very interesting community that we see.
Yeah, and just not, you know, gaming. I mean, so actually, you caught on a very raw nerve. Because to me, my son is an avid gamer.
Okay.
So we have this tense moment in the house that I'm like, you need to do something more than just gaming all the time.
Sorry, Dad.
No worries. So I'm definitely not in the millennial category. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Twitter is not a social network. I think people confuse that.
Yeah.
It's an interest network. You don't come here to talk to your friends and family. You come here to connect with the things that are passion for you. It could be gaming. It could be shopping. It could be people discussing stocks. Mm. It could be people discussing the best blend of coffee that is out there in the market. And those people around the world, it could be sports, right? English Premier League. And this is the loudest, largest open sports bar in the world in that sense.
Right? Yeah, yeah,
so
very,
as long
very true.
As you're connecting on a passion, then people are passionate. And hence, this is a great platform for, you know, platforms and brands to connect with these audiences who are exhibiting their passion live and open in a conversational manner.
Yeah. And for the survey, really, it's in a sense eavesdropping on the discussions that are going on. What do we see in terms of shopping habits? I mean, are big ticket items, are there more of it being purchased, or are we seeing it discussed more, being put on hold perhaps?
There's two categories that have really shot through the roof, which is absolute common sense given what's happened with COVID. Groceries, fashion. I know, Elliot, you are into beauty, so beauty and personal care for you.
Thank you.
And I'm into food, so restaurants and takeaways for me. And, you know, and the regular household cleaning and healthcare stuff. These categories have absolutely skyrocketed this year. The ones, again, common sense will dictate this, that have not done as well, at least as per our survey.
Okay.
Travel, appliances, books and films. Movies obviously were not that many made this year. But books, I would be guilty of actually buying more books than I did last year. I know, again, Elliot, I know your net worth. Wealth management has declined, but you may have helped up the average.
Right.
And consumer electronics and home furnishings have not done as well as the previous year.
Okay. I see where you're coming from. So I was at a friend's 100-day celebration of the birth of their daughter, right? And even in a restricted number of five, one of the guests talked about how they like to go on this shopping platform to play the games. Now, I understand that by playing those games, somehow you get points, but she didn't care. She just enjoyed playing the games. Is that what shoppertainment is all about? Is that an aspect?
Absolutely. In fact, there's a winning formula that we have discovered through our research. So the winning formula, if you really want to drive audiences and visitors to your e-commerce or your online store, is the combination of shoppertainment and support local initiatives that's happening actually in every market around the world. Because every market around the world is more closed today than it ever was due to travel restrictions, etc. And, you know, people realize that their fellow citizens in their countries are suffering.
Right.
So how do I support locally? And I know in Singapore as well, we have positive line on that part. But the other interesting part of shoppertainment, what is shoppertainment? Shoppertainment is basically removing the friction of coming only for shopping,
right,
adding the fun element of entertainment. So I'll give you an example. So we had Tokopedia, who actually have BTS as probably one of their endorsers. And they did a live and exclusive concert with BTS. Now, that drew huge audiences to the Tokopedia app and the website.
Yes,
because you use the brand of someone else and you're providing entertainment. And in a year where entertainment was sparse, right, productions were not happening with movies and serials, that gives another flip to actually show some fun element of your platform, but in that softer manner, talk about your products and services and endorsements. Shopee, in fact, did something with us in Indonesia in April. And that itself has 120 million views in 1 month. Now, just think about that. 120 million views in 1 month on an e-commerce platform, which was live streaming entertainment for that month, right? It's a 200% increase in Singapore and Malaysia on the number of hours that they have live streamed on Shopee in this year. It's a 200% increase. So you are definitely seeing this trend. And, you know, what is satisfying is this is actually born out of Asia. This started in China and Southeast Asia. I think the West is yet to understand and realize the value of what shoppertainment can actually do for their platforms.
Yeah, you're using, like, say, BTS, for example. They're so huge, right? You're using that as a two-hour-long commercial, but you also, as a platform, you diversify your ability to earn money because they usually earn something from getting BTS to perform on the platform. Everybody wins in that sense.
Absolutely. I mean, you could do a six-second ad with BTS, or you could do a two-hour thing.
Yeah.
And in those 2 hours, you can just hear your ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching happening on an e-commerce platform, right? It pays for itself.
I actually have that sound effect here, you know. But I'm curious. You say this is born out of Asia. So which part of Asia is the leader when it comes to shoppertainment?
I think I would have to give credit to China. But I think that's where it started, right? But I think Southeast Asia, a very fast follower in what's happening in that behemoth of a market. I mean, China actually leads the world when it comes to online shopping. Yes, we all think of Amazon, but the kind of development and innovation that's happening in that market, and we have some of those players in Southeast Asia, either directly or through investments, right? So they're bringing that muscle memory what is succeeding in China and bringing it to Southeast Asia very, very quickly. So the lag between innovation there and the innovation here is very less now. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing similar trends permeate through. And I think there is still a bit of a lag between what's happening in our neck of the woods versus what's happening, say, in Europe, in other parts of Asia, or the US and the Western continent.
I have a very far-fetched theory that I want to share with you, and I'm not sure how viable this is. Maybe you can give me a 2 cents worth, right? So this morning you have an announcement from Warner Brothers that for next year, the 17 movies that they're releasing in cinemas, they're going to release it in cinema and on HBO Max at the same time. What are the odds that these platforms like your Lazada, like your Shopee or Alibaba for that matter, that they could put movies on their platforms, and that is part of Shoppertainment, and you earn and you earn new customers, and you're able to make sales perhaps associated with the movie, brands associated with the movie?
I think that's a very fine point, and I'm going to talk about two trees for a very specific reason, right?
Okay.
In Asia, you find the banyan tree a lot, which is one massive shoot, and you have lots of other branches that are touching the ground again, right? Okay. So it has many pillars of growth. And if you look at this is akin to what I would call the super app. Right? We have super apps in Asia. You have your Gojek and Grabs, and you have your Shopee's and Tokopedia's, etc., and Lazada. And you have the similar apps in China. These apps don't only do one thing. They don't solve one problem for you. Yes, they started off solving one problem for you. They got those audiences in, and now they think, can I monetize them many-fold with many other verticals of lines of business, right? And this is what you do as a diversification strategy as any business, as any entrepreneur, right? You don't want to de-risk only on one vertical. What if something happens? Suppose you were in a travel industry. What happened in COVID? And if your only focus was travel, you had a very tough year. And I think that's the difference between Asian companies and their mentality versus American companies, where they specialize in one thing and they do really well.
Yes.
But I have not seen them, you know, branch out and diversify and have the multiplier effect. I've got this audience. So Netflix is very good at what Netflix does. And they have that, that's that core. Obviously, they're not monetizing in any other way, right? While you look at the Netflixes of China and Asia, you have Gojek and Grabs. They have many lines of businesses, right? Some of them might not be viable, but they do have more than one line of business where they are actually getting the margin play on the same audience.
We don't realize we're actually a part of it. Like if you're ordering food from Grab, you earn points and whatnot. That's a whole ecosystem, a couple of things working at the same time. So if let's say right now, Avinda, there's this local businessman listening to this conversation and he's or she is thinking, how can I capitalize on Shoppertainment here in Singapore? What would your advice be?
Don't look at BTS. I don't think you can afford them.
We can't afford it, man.
But you know what? Just play to your strength. You're a local player in Singapore. There are local artists in Singapore. That's more in your wheelhouse, right? You don't have to do what a large Shopee or a Tokopedia does for on a quarterly basis.
Right.
But there are places for you to touch. So, you know, if you're a business, you have to do two things right. You have to connect with the user's brain and the user's heart. The brain is your deals and coupons. So when we looked at the data on what drives shopping, what are the numbers? What are the priority for users when they look at, you know, platforms for shopping? The number one, actually free delivery, 57%. And I want to give you an anecdote of myself. I was buying wine online this weekend for a party. I found a great bottle of wine for $80, right? And then I said, free shipping only over $200. And shipping was $20. I don't want to pay $20 on an $80 wine for shipping. I ended up buying $120 more of wine just to get free. What a sucker I am.
You just described me.
I'm telling you, man. My credit card bill is going to be a bomb. But pre-shipping, then is coupon and discounts, then is reviews, return policy, and finally quick checkout.
Right,
now,
right.
You know, this, if you look at these five lists of priority, you don't have to be a Shopee to be affording this. You can do all of this yourself. And you can add the local entertainment and the local, you know, the scene that you're operating in and make yourself more relevant to the audience.
Very true, very true. Really relevant advice. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning. I've been speaking with Avinda Gujral, Managing Director, Southeast Asia at Twitter. Great conversation. Really appreciate it. Take care and stay safe, my friend.
No worries. Cheers.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.